Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Andrea O'Sullivan. I'm Executive Director at Partnership for the Public Good, and we are here with many of our partners today to launch a new policy brief on the failed Tesla deal across the street here in Buffalo and calling for a fresh start at this Riverbend factory site. We're going to hear today from two researchers who pulled this report together, as well as Assemblymember Pat Burke, representing the state legislator perspective, and then our advocates and partners from environmental and labor concerns as well. There has been a lot of coverage of Tesla failing to meet many of its targets here after receiving a $1 billion state subsidy, which you're going to hear about in much greater detail. But we are here today. This is also timely because New York State is considering extending the lease at this factory from 2029 to 2034. And so far in doing that, they're failing to address any of the concerns that have been raised by advocates here. So I'm going to turn it over first to Sam McGavern, our senior policy fellow at PPG, who's going to give an overview of this brief.
Thank you, Andrea. So, as Andrea mentioned, the state is considering extending the lease on the Tesla property that the state owns from 2029 to 2034. Now, this is a deal that was corrupt and wasteful from its very inception, and it's only got worse over time. So we're here today to talk about this policy brief and to argue that the state should make a fresh start and should issue a request for proposals for this site and see if somebody can do better with it. Can somebody produce more jobs, more high-quality jobs, with less harm to the environment and less harm to the community? Is there a more reliable partner? So, you know, one way to think about this question is the state of New York has a choice in terms of who it's going to do business with, who it's going to partner with, who it's going to give public money to or subsidies to. Is Tesla really the best choice, given where the company is at right now? And given its track record here at this site, the targets it's missed, the mass layoffs that have occurred here, the complaints of racial harassment and sexual harassment and union busting from workers who have worked here, and the increasingly bleak prospects that Tesla as a business faces. So we're calling for a new RFP, and we're saying that RFP should have much stricter requirements, much better requirements that ensure that this public investment actually serves the public good. And so any new RFP for the site should have protections for workers, should have protections for the environment, should have meaningful community benefits. So to start with, you know, where did this project come from? So the Buffalo Billion and the factory here was the centerpiece of the original Buffalo Billion. It occupied $750 million of the first billion, and then additional public investments brought it close to $1 billion in public investment. This was not a normal economic development deal that experts got together and studied and researched and said, yes, this would be best for the people of New York. It really had all the earmarks more of a publicity stunt or a headline chasing type deal than a really meaningful attempt at good economic development policy. And you could see that reflected in the corruption that attended the deal. The four federal indictments that came out of the Buffalo Billion and the sort of web of conflicts of interest and corner cutting and rule avoidance that took place. And that's important still today because it kind of helps to explain how we got here. How did we end up with this deal that has been so bad for the public? So the essence of the project is failure. The plan was to make these supposedly innovative solar roof products, and that plan never bore fruit. They promised that there would be incredible capacity coming out of this plant. They would be making all these solar roof products. And that just never happened. The product didn't work well enough. It failed in the marketplace. And the result was hundreds of layoffs of workers who were working on it. Very telling is the fact that when Tesla originally didn't have a solar roof on the factory, and they were pressed on it, and eventually they put some solar panels on, and then they were pressed on, well, whose solar panels are you using on there? I assume they're yours, right? And Tesla was very close-mouthed about that, and finally, the media found out that it was a Chinese competitor's product that's being used on the plant. And Tesla said that that was eventually going to generate 30% of the power. Very doubtful that it's going to reach that number, especially given the supercomputer that they're building there. So the project failed, essentially. The solar roof never worked well enough to do well in the marketplace. We had layoffs, and then Tesla started asking for job targets to be reduced. Originally, it was supposed to be 5,000 jobs around the state, and now we're down to 3,000 as the new target. So, you know, this is an economic development project that simply didn't work. But it's a lot worse than that, because along the way, conditions for workers have been very bad at this plant. And there have been numerous complaints of racial harassment, sexual harassment, bad work conditions, being treated as a robot, not a human, and firing of workers attempting to organize. Instead of the high-tech manufacturing jobs that were promised at this plant, many of the workers in the plant today and over the last number of years have actually been doing data entry, data analysis, and not an interesting or fulfilling or good job kind of data analysis, but a very repetitive job that doesn't pay very well and doesn't lead to good career prospects, especially given the rise of AI. So the fact that they're building a supercomputer here is indicative of the fact that they're not going to need many data analysis in their current plan. When I say this project has got worse over time, one of the reasons for that is now they're building this Dojo AI supercomputer at the plant. And there hasn't been a lot of information yet about the exact nature of this plant, but we know a few things about supercomputers and data centers. We know they use massive amounts of electricity, and that will actually make climate change worse, not better, and cause other problems as well. And in terms of track record, XAI, another Musk company, has built a supercomputer in Memphis that has given rise to numerous environmental complaints and actually lawsuits from the NAACP and the Southern Environmental Law Center, because to power that plant in Memphis, they've installed all of these gas turbines that are causing an immense amount of air pollution, and they did so in a way that appeared to violate numerous environmental laws. So, you know, not very promising as we think about how are they going to generate power for the supercomputer here. Supercomputers also use a huge amount of fresh water, drinkable water, which can put strain on local water systems. And they treat that water with chemicals and coolants and then discharge effluents into the water system. So there are reasons to be concerned for our water quality as well. And, you know, what is this for? What's this supercomputer for? It's not like doing medical research or something useful. It's going to work on this autopilot self-driving system that Kevin's going to tell you more about, but that seems like a very risky bet and maybe a product that's just going to fail. So it's not, the environmental harms are not producing, there's not public benefit being produced to compensate for them. One of the ways that this project was sold was that it was going to benefit the surrounding community. There would be spin-off business, and we would get sort of a job cluster here. Obviously, that hasn't happened. The Tim Hortons that we're standing near is pretty much the only business that has grown up near the Tesla plant, and obviously that's not an amazing economic development engine. The state still owns a large amount of undeveloped land around the factory that has not been developed. So it hasn't done positive things for the surrounding neighborhood, but in fact it hurts the surrounding neighborhood in different ways. One of them is, because it's publicly owned land, the city and county and school district don't get property tax revenue from the operations here. So actually local governments and all of us as taxpayers are indirectly subsidizing this operation in another way as well. Now with the supercomputer coming, there's a threat that maybe that's going to have other negative impacts on the community in terms of air pollution, but also in terms of higher electricity prices. When you have these massive electricity users straining the system, you can get brownouts, you can get intermittent power, you can also get more expensive power because the system has to sort of chase more expensive kinds of power generation to fill its needs. So I'm going to turn it over to Kevin Connor, who'll tell you a little more about sort of where Tesla is at as a company right now, and then I'll come back and say a little more about our recommendations and what the current situation is.
Oh, thank you. Hi, I'm Kevin Connor, co-author of the brief being released today, and I'm going to talk a little bit about part of the report that covers how this is a company that is sliding downhill, facing just enormous headwinds and challenges. And there's a real question of whether New York State should be thinking about extending this lease in a context where this company might not have a long-term viable future and might not create a long-term viable future for this site in Buffalo. So one of the major things we've been seeing is that Musk's political activities have generated enormous backlash. Sales have been sliding, earnings have been sliding, the stock price has been sliding. Car buyers around the world don't want to be associated with this brand and are rejecting it due in part to Musk's activities, but also due to safety issues with the cars. In terms of safety issues, it should be noted that of all American car brands, Tesla has the highest fatal accident rate of any car brand in the country, and it actually has a fatal accident rate twice the national average. So there are enormous safety issues with the cars. That has led to millions of recalls over the past few years of different products. Speaking of products, the Cybertruck is one of the most disastrous rollouts of a new car in American history, perhaps in decades. It's undersold by about half the initial goals stated by Musk. These cars are selling at a deep discount. The product is not working out. And, you know, we're told again and again that Musk is a genius engineer who's going to get us to Mars or something. And we should see from his record with these products that oftentimes things are not working out. And his luck may seem to be running out right now. So there's a real question of whether New York State should extend this lease in that context. The last thing is that the company is staking its future on robo-taxis, or full self-driving technology. Core to this technology and core to Tesla's approach is the use of a camera-only optical system that doesn't use reinforcing systems like LiDAR and radar that can protect against accidents. So a simple piece of dust, glare, a glitch in the system can cause a fatal accident. Now imagine if Musk actually succeeds in unlocking this technology at scale, the kind of dangers we will see on our roads as a result of that. And so that robo-taxi promise is a lot of what's propping up the company's stock price, trading high above its fundamentals, trading high above other car makers. And there's a real question for us as to whether New York State should be thinking about doing business in the long term here, considering that. But beyond the business case against the company, there's also this question of Tesla and Musk's leadership. He has demonstrated, especially over the past 6 months, but it's been several years, an increasingly toxic and unhinged approach to politics, to the role of government in all of our lives, while trying to remove protections. Actually, on the robo-taxi point, it should be noted that there was a criminal fraud investigation underway at the Department of Justice over the company's false advertising claims around its autopilot. Essentially, the company puts out a lot of material suggesting that drivers can use this technology without really paying attention, when in fact it is at a very basic level of autonomy where you're supposed to keep your hands on the wheel at all times. And that is a public service announcement to anyone driving a Tesla right now. Keep your hands on the wheel at all times. And we need to keep our hands on the wheel here in New York State and pay close attention to what this company is doing. So he's used his massive platform on X and his money. He's leveraged it to spread lies, to foment virulence and hate, to attack unions, to attack public services. We rely here in Western New York on public services, on the protections unions afford. And there's no reason we should be propping up a billionaire like Elon Musk, who's intent on shredding things that protect our way of life and our quality of life here. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sam to talk a little bit about a proposal that doesn't solve our problems.
Thank you, Kevin. So where are we at now? As we mentioned, the state is considering extending the Tesla lease another 5 years from 2029 to 2034. And in January 2024, they reached a non-binding letter of intent with Tesla. And so we were able to look at the terms of that. And our contention is that that proposed deal, as outlined in that non-binding letter of intent, does not solve these problems and in some ways makes things worse. It does have Tesla starting to pay rent on the facility, that's good, but it actually lowers the statewide job targets all the way down to 3,000. They were at 3,640 most recently, so they're going down another 640. The job target for the Buffalo operation goes up a little, but that's in the context of actually, you know, fewer jobs overall. So it's not really a victory for the state by any means. It appears to reduce the penalties if Tesla fails to meet the job targets from a maximum of $42 million to a maximum of $10 million. And most importantly, it doesn't address these fundamental problems that we're talking about, dealing with a very flawed company with very uncertain prospects, with a terrible track record of how it treats workers and how it treats the environment. So is that the best we can do? We don't think so. So we, the people of New York, own this property. We own the building and the land around it. The building has already shown that it's adaptable. It's no, you know, it's barely being used for the solar roofs anymore, if at all. It's being used for battery charging technology and for data analysis. So could another company do better? Could they offer more? Why not a fair, free, open competition to see who's actually the best user of this site? So that's what we're arguing for. And what should that RFP look like? It should look like much better than the deal we've been getting. So it should have higher job targets. It should have protections for job quality, making sure that the wages pay family-sustaining wages. It should protect workers from discrimination and harassment. It should protect workers' right to organize, and the simplest way to do that is card check neutrality. In other words, if a majority of workers sign cards saying they want a union, then a union gets recognized. It's very simple, it's very democratic, and it prevents the kind of union busting techniques that we've been seeing. It should protect local municipalities. There should be payments in lieu of taxes or pilots to our local municipalities to make them whole for the property tax that they're losing. And it should have environmental protections so that we're not actually making climate change worse, not making our air quality in this neighborhood and this region worse, not making our water and soil quality worse. We're suggesting that the RFP include that all the power used at the plant should be renewable, non-nuclear energy, to protect our environment in that way. And it should include community benefits provisions that make sure that people have good job pathways, good career development opportunities, that local vendors have the opportunity to sell products to the who's ever using the plant here. And it should have tougher penalties for violations of any agreement. So that's what we're calling for in terms of an RFP. In the meantime, we think the state should do a comprehensive audit to make sure that Tesla has abided by all the terms of the current agreements and existing laws, applicable laws. And if Tesla has violated any of those provisions or laws, then the state should act promptly to bring it into compliance and to make the people of the state whole. That's our report. We'll take questions about it later, but we've got some other speakers first.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sam and Kevin, for outlining what was a weak deal from the start. The claps, I thought it was from you all. It's from our friends over there. A weak deal from the start, and after reporting many types of harms, now New York State is proposing an even weaker deal. So we're going to hear now on this from New York State Assemblymember Pat Burke. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sam and Kevin, for producing this report. What's clear from the beginning is that this is a bad deal. It was a bad deal from the beginning. And whether, doesn't matter really what the company was, it's a bad deal, but it does matter because Tesla is so compromised. Tesla and Elon Musk are not separated in any way. One is equal to the other. The value of Tesla is purely speculative. We view Tesla mostly, we know it's not, but mostly as a car company. When you compare the valuation and price to earnings ratio of Tesla to other car companies, say Ford, it's about, for every dollar that Ford earns, it's about $16 in its valuation ratio. Tesla is for every $1, it's about 180, which means it's purely speculative. They're not producing anything, they're not earning anything to get that type of value for their company. So why the hell would New York State, when everyone else is running away from Tesla, when its investors are running away, everyone is fleeing Tesla, New York State is going to go even further in on a sweetheart deal? It doesn't make any sense. We can't do it. We need to open up this process. We should open it up for everyone, but particularly in this case, we have to open it up because we have a company in such question. Unfortunately, Elon Musk has saturated himself in every part of our lives. He started a political party. He has upset the electoral process. He has upset the governing process. And we cannot in New York State be further investing in Elon Musk and in Tesla. Now, I know this area very well. I represent this area. I grew up around here. That white building right there, my uncle owned that tavern for a long time. Even when this was announced, he never believed that this was going to be some boon to this community. And you know what? He was right. I know a ton of people here. I don't know many people who actually work here, though. So the huge benefit that we were supposed to see in this community in South Buffalo, it never materialized. Again, speculation, speculation, speculation. But someone pays for that speculation. It's always us. Someone's always making a bunch of money, and it's always on our backs. I'm sick of it. I want New York State to do right, and I want them to open up this process for more companies so we have the best deal for our community and our state. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Assemblymember Burke. And as the report notes, Tesla is the only major U.S. automaker that is not unionized. We're really happy to have with us Chris Murawski, Executive Director of Clean Air Coalition of Western New York. They have worked with workers here and at other plants on both workers' rights issues and environmental harms, and he's going to share more about that.
Thanks, everybody, for being here today. I want to extend my sincere thanks to Partnership for Public Good, Sam, and Kevin for producing this policy brief, and also thank you to Assemblymember Burke for joining us today and for his support. My name is Chris Murawski, and I have the privilege of serving as Executive Director of Clean Air Coalition of Western New York. And our mission is to empower everyday people, particularly from working class communities, to fight pollution that threatens their health, their families, and their neighborhoods. And we also have a long history of working with labor and workers to fight for worker safety, fair treatment, and protection as industries continue to transition. Our organization first got involved with the Tesla plant here due to its failure to live up to the promise of a just transition to clean energy and sustainable family jobs, family sustaining jobs at the plant when the original state subsidy was done. We maintain that there can't be a just transition if workers still suffer from harms of systemic racism and white supremacy. In 2019, we became connected with six terminated former Tesla workers who are looking for some kind of justice to recompense for the rampant racial discrimination and sexual harassment that they often face being employed and then ultimately terminated by Tesla. The workers also came together with the desire to win improved conditions for current and future workers. And, you know, we commend them for their bravery and vulnerability in coming forward to bring to light these conditions. So our organizers assisted the former workers in telling their stories, provided a space focused on healing and seeking justice, and then also organized other labor and environmental groups to come forward in solidarity, such as our Western New York Area Labor Federation at the time. With the assistance of legal counsel, six workers submitted formal complaints to the New York Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC. And these reports detailed patterns of racism and racist discrimination in the plant, included racist favoritism and harassment, instances of racially coded language and slurs. Highly qualified employees of color were routinely passed over for opportunities and promotions. The workers were speaking out was extensively covered by the Buffalo News outlets and other outlets in 2020. Despite this obvious pattern, there was no intervention by the EEOC or other agencies. And it's not surprising that allegations of discrimination and union busting are still occurring. We're also here today as we're, for another issue, we're assisting several groups dealing with currently online or proposed massive data centers, including the Bitcoin operation in North Tonawanda at the former gas-fired power plant, Fortistar gas-fired power plant, data centers in Niagara Falls and on Buffalo's east side, and the proposed data centers at the Stamp site, threatening the sovereignty and the environment of the Tonawanda Seneca Nation. We're also seeing the rampant expansion of AI and Bitcoin mining data centers with little planning or taking into account the consequences of the use of all the enormous energy demands, adding stress to the grid, climate harming emissions, threats to ecosystems, water supplies, and human health. So we are extremely concerned about the energy use, the water use for cooling, and the possible harmful emissions that Sam mentioned from the backup generators or primary generators for the supercomputer proposed here at Riverbend. The use of diesel and gas generators in the air quality consequences at a Tesla facility in Memphis are well documented in the policy brief presented today. And we're gravely concerned about the push by big tech to replace workers in entire career fields with AI and without compensation for workers. As Sam mentioned, some of these positions may be eliminated by the supercomputer. We're standing with our partners today and asking for the call for all the conditions that were called upon that were listed in this report, a comprehensive audit by the state, higher job targets, protection of workers from discrimination and union busting, environmental protections, including that the energy generated here must be from renewable sources for the supercomputer. And we want this facility, this facility to stay open and provide the family-sustaining jobs that we desperately need. But we're asking New York to make a better deal for our communities with our tax dollars. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. So we've heard, I think, a lot about, one way to swallow the bitter pill of this original deal was that it was going to be producing solar roof tiles. At least the business activity would be towards sustainable products. As we've heard in detail in the brief and from Chris, that is gone. And now a turn to a supercomputer. We don't even know what the electricity and wastewater impacts will be. That's not publicly available, and yet New York State is proposing another extension. We spoke with several former Tesla workers. Some are quoted in this brief to prepare for this. And unfortunately, they have signed NDAs. They have seen the layoffs and union busting activities that happen at this plant, so they are not able to be with us today. But we're happy to have with us Kathy Creighton, who is the director of the Cornell University ILR Buffalo CoLab and a longtime labor attorney, to tell us more about the situation for labor organizing at the plant.
Thanks, Andrea.
Yeah.
My name's Kathy Creighton. I'm the director of the Cornell School of Industrial and Labor Relations office here in Buffalo, the Buffalo CoLab. And part of our mission is to do research, writing, and outreach on issues that involve working people, and also to promote a just and high road economy for New Yorkers. And we know that Elon Musk and his companies, including Tesla, are committed low-wage employers. Everywhere they operate in the US, they pay lower than the prevailing rate. Musk is also very anti-union. He objects to the existence of unions, and where his workers attempt to unionize their workplaces, he surveils them, bullies them, and terminates them for even speaking up in their workplaces. He's been charged and found guilty of various violations of federal labor law, and he ties up that litigation for years by bringing specious appeals over and over. And currently, he has cases that where he objects to the very constitutionality of the National Labor Relations Board. We know, and the data show very clearly, that having a unionized workforce is better for workers and it's better for Buffalo. Those workers make more money. They can pay their taxes. They can pay property taxes, unlike Elon Musk at this site where he doesn't pay his property taxes. having more money, also in addition to more money, workers have better benefits, and workers also have much safer work environments. They have better retention rates, and they make better citizens. They vote more often, they volunteer more often, and unionized workers, our research shows that unionized workers have happier lives and they have more ownership in their lives. If New York enters into an agreement with Tesla without providing the workers at this plant labor protections, the state is condoning Elon Musk's anti-labor agenda. And also, to what Assemblymember Burke said, if New York enters into an agreement with Tesla to provide it with a break, it's also undermining high-wage and high-road employers such as Ford and the GM plants that exist here, where their workers make far, far higher wages and benefits than any workers make in this plant. If New York does enter into an agreement with Tesla, it should provide for what's called a labor peace component of that agreement, which would, as Sam said, provide for neutrality and card check. If Tesla is operating in New York, then New York should do its part to ensure that our workers in Buffalo are having a safe and workforce where they're not being the victims of labor law violations. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Woo.
All right, very happy to open it up for questions. I just want to thank our partners that are here with us, Clean Air Coalition again, Buffalo Center for Health Equity, the Western New York Environmental Alliance, CWA, others that I'm probably missing, but we're really grateful to have so many partners engaging on this. As a large network of Buffalo Niagara nonprofits, we have seen very direct harms to our partners and the critical community services that they provide from the reckless federal cuts promoted by Elon Musk. And so again, for us at this moment, we really believe we deserve better from New York State. Any questions for any of our speakers?
I'd like to ask the authors before.
Please.
Right now the plant's got maybe about 2,000 employees. Can you talk more about the process? Like, would you risk maybe ending up with just an empty plant? If you reopen this process, what could happen?
We're obviously extremely concerned that more jobs not be lost. We've had mass layoffs from Tesla in recent years. Just in 2024, there were hundreds of workers laid off here. So yeah, the last thing we want is for that to continue. So that's why we're calling for an RFP process. Tesla could compete in it too. If they've, you know, if they actually have the best plan and promises for this plant, then, you know, they would win. But maybe someone else comes along who can provide more jobs, more better paying jobs, better quality jobs, and not produce these other harms. So yeah, absolutely, we want to make sure that employment numbers do not continue to go down. We want them going up, and we're hopeful that someone else can do a better job. Or, you know, if Tesla is actually put to competition, maybe they'll come up with some better terms and better goals as well.
And just as a follow-up to that, do you think there are many other prospects out there that could fill such a large facility like this?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like Tesla's doing a great job filling it either. You know, as we described, they've shuttled, so like these hundreds of data analysis jobs that they put there, obviously those can be anywhere. And in fact, what they've done is they closed down their operation in San Mateo where they were doing the same work and started the unit here. They're just shifting jobs around apparently to meet the quotas here, the job targets here. Well, that's incredibly destructive, obviously, to be churning through workers, laying off hundreds one place, hiring them another place, then laying them off here. So the job creation's been, you know, incredibly poor, and we think somebody can do better. Tesla could certainly do better. Hopefully another company that is more honest, that has better values, could do even better.
What makes this site particular attractive for another company that, with this RFP process, if they were to look at this site, what would make it attractive for them to come in and take over for Tesla?
Yeah, well, it's a very newly built, huge factory space, you know, conveniently located to transit. So, you know, I would think that, and it's right in the middle of the city, which means good access to qualified workers. So yeah, the site has a lot going for it.
Question for Assemblymember Burke. So this whole factory is, you know, kind of a creation of Empire State Development. Empire
entire state development more or less serves at the pleasure of the governor. Kathy Hochul has really shown kind of a willingness to double down on this and like throw more money at the theater. How would you force her hand, basically, if you're like, you would need her consent to do this RFP process? How would you force her hand?
I mean, we're not going to force her hand. We're going to encourage her to do the right thing and open this process up. Let's not forget that she inherited this mess. She didn't champion this cause. I don't think state government should ever get into, or really any government should ever get into building buildings like this, especially when it comes to technology, because there's so much turnover in the tech and you need so much investment to be continuous. But forcing her hand, I wouldn't say that's how we need to do it. We need to just keep this dialogue going and keep, you know, I'm certainly using my office and working with my colleagues to encourage ESD to open this process up so that we're not just looking at one company. They've admitted that they've only been focused on Tesla and have not talked to other companies. And even on, you know, the other question, the threat that they might leave, I just don't accept that premise, right? That we're always going to be threatened. Like, we'll take our so-so jobs from you if you don't give us everything we want. That's not the starting line. We have to show some strength, and I don't think it's, if a company is that threatened by competition, we should question if we should be in business with them anyway.
So then how do you make the case? How do you convince the state to abandon, you know, this decade-plus project and shift the direction?
I mean, we have the building, right? So, you know, we're making the case now that, which I think is, on its face, what we should do. You don't just hand things over to any company, but particularly a company like this. That's a known bad actor. You have the head of this company who brags about being anti-union, brags about it. Isn't, you know, usually most of the bad guys are a little sheepish about it, but this one's boastful. So we shouldn't just be handing off the football to them.
Is part of the case possibly that
you could say that, but he certainly, I don't know if he's the boogeyman of the moment. I think he's not good for our country, for our community, for a bunch of obvious reasons. I don't think we're just in the moment. I think that would almost imply that it's short-sighted. The project was short-sighted, right? The project was political. The project has been filled with problems and corruption. And he likes to say that he was the savior of it. As it all fell apart and Elon Musk came and saved it, he was a part of it the whole time. You know, sort of, we get spun around by news cycles so much that we lose what the truth is. And especially when people are, you know, boldly loose with the truth, like Elon Musk is, and some others. So no, like, it's a bad deal. We should open the process. It should be a fair competitive process. And that's the starting line. That's what we have to do on everything, not just this project, not just because of Elon Musk, but particularly because of it in this case.
Do you have a sense of how close the state is to finalizing this agreement? I'm just wondering how much time you have left before they would say this extension is already happening.
I don't know when that.
It's our understanding that there's this non-binding letter of intent and that the deal has not been signed. So we are definitely out here with a sense of urgency to get this message to Empire State Development that these are not our values in Western New York and New York, but we don't know. We don't know more of the specifics. You want to speak to the workers' perspectives on the deal? I interviewed a former worker last week who really is echoed and is quoted in here saying, again, that we didn't see investment in this surrounding community from Tesla. They're not doing a greater good for the area. They're not participating in nonprofit support and charitable events like so many other corporations that work here. So the workers that we've spoken to that were part of unionization efforts would certainly like to see a new chapter and believe that this site deserves better. Yeah.
Let's say the scenario does happen, right? The RFP process is opened up. Tesla still gets the deal. What are some of the other, I guess, oversight things that could possibly put into place? I know the original deal, you guys were critical of the controller not kind of being involved in that oversight. Is there anything
involved in that?
Please.
So we're calling for a start for a comprehensive audit to see exactly what's happened. And, you know, for example, in 2024, Tesla should still have been employing 3,640 people across the state, and they fell well below that. They didn't hit 3,000. It doesn't seem they've been penalized for that. It seems like instead the state did this non-binding letter of intent that reduced the job targets to, I think it's 2,900 for 2024, and then it rises to 3,000 going forward. So that needs to be looked at. You know, how was that decision made? Is that even legal? What's happened there exactly? So, you know, that's just one example. There have been so many problems with this plant. So let's start with a comprehensive audit to say, what exactly has happened here? Have the rules been followed? If not, what should the consequences be? And then going forward, the state's RFP and any deal that it makes with any company, whether it's Tesla or someone else, should have really meaningful requirements, better job creation, job quality. You know, the original deal said nothing about job quality, nothing about the wages that would be paid or the benefits, and then protections for the community, you know, payments in lieu of taxes for the surrounding municipalities, environmental protections so we're not polluting the air and the water. You know, that should all be baked into any use of this site. And those are, you know, that should be all of our economic development should be rigorous. It should make sure that the benefits to the public actually outweigh the costs. And obviously that hasn't happened here. When the state comptroller did look at this deal and several other high-tech development deals around the state, they found that the state's benchmark for projects like this is that $1 of public investment should generate $34 of return. And they said this was estimated to generate 50 some cents of return. So, you know, not even recouping the dollar, much less getting to $34. So it just never had that kind of rigor associated with it because it was this very corrupt, flawed process. So any deal going forward needs to get back to basics and say, okay, we're going to make sure that the public actually benefits from this public investment.